Hey everybody, welcome to the Ultra High Net Worth Clients Podcast, where I, Chris Broadhead, interview the most successful financial advisors in the world to hear exactly how they maximize their marketing, amplify their assets under management, and close their ultra high net worth clients. I've been helping financial advisors to find more clients and grow their assets under management using cutting edge and wildly effective marketing strategies for years. If you are a financial advisor looking to grow your AUM, this is the podcast for you. Please go to uhnwc.com to download your free copy of our How to Find Ultra High Net Worth Clients ebook. All right, let's start the episode.
All right. Hey everybody, welcome to the Ultra High Net Worth Clients podcast. I'm your host, Chris Broadhead. We started this podcast as a way to give back to the financial advisor industry by creating a central resource of the best financial advisor practice growing tips shared by the most outstanding advisors in the industry, of which our guest today is definitely one. These outstanding financial advisors agree to be on the show and provide a ton of valuable insights completely for free, all in the hopes that you might learn from their words and maybe they'll get a couple thousand views and some SEO backlinks. My father was a financial advisor, and financial advisors are the main client we serve. So my marketing agency's mission is to help every FA grow their business in an effort to help the world become more financially secure. Today, we have the rare pleasure of talking with an incredible financial advisor, Ray Ferrara. It's like Ferrari, but with an R at the end. Ray Ferrara.
Unfortunately, with an A, not an I.
I'm sure your ancestors were just down the street from Enzo's family.
Well, delightful to be with you today, Chris.
Yeah, awesome, Ray. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Name is Ray Ferrara, certified financial planner since 1990. Was fortunate enough to serve on the board of directors for the CFP board from 2009 to 14 and was the chair in 2014. Been in the business. I know I don't look like I'm 76, but I am. So I've been in the business for 52 years and loving it and still enjoying it and hoping to continue to add value to clients' lives. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, if going off of how sharp you are, I'd say you have decades left, my friend.
Well, you know, I'm big into longevity planning and I've done a lot of research in the area. And given the good genes that I have, the healthy habits I hope I keep, maybe there is a couple more decades left.
I will not be surprised if there are. So I like to start these interviews off kind of with your origin story and how you got into this wild world. Can you tell us how you got involved in the world of finance?
Sure. It's a wild one. I went to the University of Maryland thinking I might go to medical school. And so my degree, Chris, is in zoology.
Oh, wow.
I immediately put it to work in January of 1970, selling computers for IBM at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center.
Cool.
And I was there for about 6 months, 8 months, maybe. And a friend of mine who graduated from Maryland also got into the securities business and called me one day and said, I want you to invest money into national postal systems. And I said, what are they doing? He said, well, they're going to put the post office out of business by delivering packages overnight. And I said, well, you know, first thing I have to do is I got to have some money to invest in this company. And I said, by the way, who's their competitor? And he said, oh, there's this little company called FedEx in Tennessee, but we don't think they're going to win. We think NPS will win. So I invested $500, which is all I had in those days. And 6 months later, NPS was out of business and the rest is history for FedEx. So I decided I better learn something. And I, crazy as it was, decided to go get a securities registration, which I did, and joined the got into the business in April of 71 and mm-hmm. haven't looked back. And that's kind of my story in a nutshell, as crazy mm-hmm. as it is. So my dirty little secret when you play that parlor game, you know, is what's my major in college? Nobody guesses zoology.
I maybe like some joke guesses are like, what, zoology? Like, like yeah, actually. Oh, that's That's a very, very unique backstory there, sir.
Indeed.
So what, once you got your license and started to get more comfortable in the industry, how did you grow the business? How did you find clients?
Well, it's also a circuitous route. I was in the business as an independent contractor from 1971 until 1979 when I moved to Florida. I spent 2 years in Texas came here in 1979 to work in the home office of a company called Pioneer Western Corporation, which owned a company called Western Reserve Life and the Pioneer Funds of Boston, along with a small broker dealer, and to work in the home office. And let's just say my star rose and fell at the company, because you're in business for yourself for 8 years, so you have to continue to have a little bit of an independent streak. In April of 87, I left the company and started Provise Management Group, which I visualized as being what I had been doing for years, selling life insurance and mutual funds, but quickly decided that I wanted to set up a registered investment advisory firm and start charging fees and doing financial planning. So I called the president of the broker dealer one day and I said, "John, you got to set up an RIA." And he says, "What are you talking about? We have IRAs." And I said, no, John, not an individual retirement account, a registered investment advisor." And he said, "Well, why would we do that?" And I said, "Well, I want to start charging fees and I'm pursuing my CFP designation and I'm going to charge fees for right financial plans." And he said, "Fees? We sell commission products. We'll never do fees." So, a month later, I set up a registered investment advisor with the SEC, and here we are 37 years later, an overnight success with 1,200 clients scattered in 34 states and managing about $1.7 billion. So,
wow. Yeah, it was just instant success.
That's right? It.
Just effortless. How did you know that the RIA path was the future of financial advising?
Well, I had followed the CFP designation back in the late 70s and certainly during the 80s, but didn't feel a necessity to get it because I was working in the home office. But as soon as I decided to go back to work on my own, I quickly figured out that doing things the way I had been doing it for all of those years was not what the future held. And so we decided early on that we would accept the fiduciary model in the late 80s through an RIA and haven't looked back. We're a hybrid model, although 96% of our revenues today still come from fees and only about 4% from the revenue side of commissions. Mm-hmm. And probably in the not too distant future, we'll probably end up being a fee-only firm, but at the moment we're fee-based.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So how did you land on Tampa, Florida? You said you moved there in 87 or
89?
1979.
I came here originally because the home office of the company that I was going to work for, Pioneer Western Corporation, was based here in Cleveland. They had the good sense and foresight back in the late 60s to move from Cleveland, Ohio to Clearwater, Florida. the time period that I worked with them from 1971 coming forward until just a few years ago was all based here in Clearwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the listeners out there, I think most of you are aware, but I was born and raised in Clearwater, Tampa, Florida. So close to my heart. I was texting Ray today. We have the same area code on our phone numbers. That's always a rare treat.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's great. So it sounds like going independent, was that just a necessary evil to kind of explore the RIA territory, or was that something that you had always planned on doing?
When I went back in to doing private practice. It was always going to be as an independent. Mm-hmm. But the decision to set up an RIA, as I said earlier, was really a decision to look into the future and not to the past. And it did not take more than about 6 months of being back in private practice and trying to develop the business that I came to realize that I'm one of those folks that I refer to as the old white men's group that created the financial planning profession. Back when I first started in the 70s, it was very novel to be selling life insurance and mutual funds at the same time. And in fact, it was still in the late 60s. It was illegal to do it in the state of Ohio. You couldn't have both a life insurance and a securities registration. And so I was very lucky to be on the forefront. And of course, compared to today, the financial planning we did then was very rudimentary. And so fast forward to ProVise getting started in 1986, 1987, it just became apparent to me that what worked so well in the past had to evolve. And what it was evolving to was looking into charging fees for the work that you do rather than selling product. And, you know, we all are still selling. We're selling our intellectual knowledge. We're selling reputation of our firm. And our ability to help and add value to people's lives. So it was just moving from selling product to selling advice. And I just can't imagine having done anything else over the last 37 years.
Well, I'll say that you were definitely ahead of the curve there. I interviewed a gentleman last week who had to leave his firm in 2009 to start an RIA. So you're tracking about 20 years ahead of some other folks there.
Well, you know, Chris, yeah. one of the things that we've tried to build here at ProVise Management Group is we are not a group of independent contractors that have come together and working under an eat what you kill mentality. We're a firm. Everybody here is on salary, bonus, benefits, etc. I now, along with five other partners, have built a firm that has some legs underneath of it, a lasting legacy, and everybody works together and applauds when we get a big win, and we all cry when we have those few losses. And so it's a great team spirit, and I'm really lucky to be surrounded by a wonderful team of 30 other people, five of whom are partners of the firm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a very enlightened structure to really create a close-knit team there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be the future of our industry as more and more people move into the channel of advice as opposed to product, build a great business model around it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So as you were, you know, coming up and cutting your teeth here, did you tune in on a certain type of client that you felt you could best serve or that you most wanted to work with? And how has that evolved over the years?
So when ProVise first started and having been out of private practice for 8 years, I had zero clients. And so it was starting right from scratch. And it was, you know, just finding people who were in need of help and no real clear guideline as to, you know, how much money they might have or what they might need, anything like that. It was, you know, just get clients and grow with clients. And so based on that, I'm beginning to realize that there were a lot of people who were out there that needed financial advice, but in some cases couldn't afford the advice. We started out by just saying, "What the heck? We're gonna help anybody and everybody who needs it." We still have pretty much that philosophy today, although it's fair to say That today we do have a minimum fee, which is $3,000 a year for someone to become a client. We're still looking to help people where we can. We try to do some pro bono planning where appropriate, because we think that's important within the profession. And we do make occasional exceptions to our minimum fee for an individual that's running her or his own business, perhaps as a physician that we know is going to grow and become a great client. But other than that, we're here to help anyone that we can. And as I tell my friends at some of the big trust companies and some of the big firms that have high minimums, like, you know, $10 million, I'll tell you what, you just refer me to all the people you don't want that are under $10 million, and we'll be happy to help them.
I love that. I want to go back to the structure of your business. We have had on one other person who has a similar structure to your business, and also a very similar vibe to yourself, like very pleasant and peaceful and team oriented and caring. And you think that that's the future of the industry. Why is a salary focused team based structure the future of financial advisory firms or RIAs?
Well, Chris, I feel like there's a number of answers to that, but let me just speak to a couple. The first is that when you have someone in our business who is selling product or selling advice, but on an eat what you kill mentality, there is always the conflict that exists of, I'm planning my vacation to Hawaii next month. I need some extra money. You know, let me do something that will get me the money that I need to pay for my vacation. And I'm going to an extreme, obviously, when I'm using this as an example. But there's always that conflict that exists. But when our advisors sit down with a client, they are not conflicted. They're just giving advice, and they know that no matter how much the fees may be that we charge someone, it's not going to directly impact their compensation in the same way that the eat what you kill mentality is. And I think that brings a lot of comfort to clients to know that all of the advice is. It's not without conflict, but it certainly has removed that conflict. The second reason I think that exists is that there are lots of really good financial planners in our business today who absolutely hate selling, even selling themselves at times, but certainly who hate selling product. And by selling, I really ought to be referring to as marketing, having to go out and knock on doors, make relationships with centers of influence, get ingrained into community activities, et cetera. It's just not what they do, but they're great financial planners. And they're more than willing to work with a trusted firm with a great group of people to do it on a salary basis. And, you know, we follow all of the trends in the business. We try to pay it somewhere between the 60th and the 70th percentile of compensation, as gets reported in the numerous reports that are available to us through several entities, Investment News, Schwab. So we don't want to pay people at the median. I don't want average people advising our clients. I want people who are above average. And so, you know, in doing that, it is very attractive. And I would say to you that for the younger advisors that are coming up today, those that are 35 or under, it's their preferred model is to work on a salary and to have the benefits that are involved in that and not have to be worried about where that quote next sale is going to come from.
For a slight decrease in maybe the, you know, your percentage or your 1%, offering a better kind of work life, better office life, just like a better experience all around, where you can focus and have, you know, there's no conflicts. Is that kind of the pitch to
I would
hire and keep folks?
I would say that and a lot more. And I guess the best way for me to express it is that over the last 15 years, going back to the 2008-2009 financial crisis, we've lost a grand total of two financial advisors over all of the ones that we've brought on board. And so I guess they're happy because their longevity is awfully good with us, as is the same with our staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that definitely speaks for itself there.
Indeed.
That's awesome. So we are coming towards the end of our time. I have, I don't know, at least 15 questions that I'd love to ask you that we will not get to. So we'll have to save those for another time.
That would be, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm curious, how did you build one of the largest financial planning firms in the country? And I'm sure we've touched on various aspects, but I like to ask that question directly.
So in the early days, I thought it would just be me, an associate, maybe one staff person, and constrained the growth of the business in the early days because I didn't want to build, I wasn't even thinking about trying to build a firm. But fortunately, one client at a time, and suddenly you wake up one day and you say, oh my goodness, I've got more clients than I can handle and I'm not doing a good job. So I better add, another advisor. And it just grew and it grew, and a lot of hard work, in between by everybody on the team. And, today, very fortunate that in the Tampa Bay area, that our reputation is impeccable, and with that, there's a lot of opportunity for us to get referrals, not only from our clients, but from other professionals and other centers of influence. And so, as I say, the firm was built one client at a time. And it continues to grow in the same way.
Awesome. It sounds like relationships with centers of influences, referrals, any other unique or interesting ways of finding clients?
You know, we continue to explore other things, modernize some digital marketing, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, and I know some are having success with the social media campaigns, et cetera, but we have not. And so we rely very heavily on the way we have done it, the old fashioned way, one client at a time. And we always continue to look. It is fair to say I do a radio show twice a month. That exposure helps. We do a newsletter to all of our clients and friends twice a month, and adding everybody we meet to that list in hopes that they'll get to learn more about us. So it's a drip marketing campaign over a period of time. And there's just keep doing the right thing because there's no wrong time to do the right thing.
Amen. That might be the title of the episode. Awesome. So I have one final question for you. I could definitely sit here and ask you questions for the rest of the afternoon, but I will respect your time. This question it's an open-ended question. You take it any direction you like. The question is, what are you working towards?
What am I working towards? My big passion beyond our own personal business is financial literacy. And one of the areas that I've latched on recently is at the college level, given name, image, and likeness. And these young student athletes are getting money that they've never seen before, perhaps in their entire life, and maybe their family hasn't either. And working hard with a couple of universities to put in place financial programs, not just for the athletes, although that's what led to the idea in the first place, but to all students who have an interest in developing some financial acumen while they're in school, and to help them take advantage of the opportunity that's been in front of them, instead of going out and buy the fancy car or blow it on beer and pizzas, you know, to actually take advantage of it and to help these young adults early in their life and to get them on the right financial path.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very inspiring and honorable. I love to hear that. Awesome. Yep. And where can our audience find out more about you?
So obviously the best place is the internet. Go to Provise, ProVise.com. That's ProVise.com. Google me. You'll find out a lot about me and some different connections that are there. But a trove of information available at our website. That's the best way.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to link all of those URLs in the show notes. Great. Ray, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today from sunny Florida.
Well, Chris, it's been delightful. Appreciate the opportunity. And if I can help in any way going forward, happy to do so.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I'll definitely take you up on that. Good. To all of our audience out there, thanks so much for tuning in. Keep on growing out there, everybody. See ya. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the ideas shared here, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify. Please share this episode with anyone you think will also find value here. You can find short video clips of the best moments from the episode at uhnwc.com and on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Ultra High Net Worth Clients, and on X at UHNWC Podcast. Please connect with me, Chris Broadhead, BRODHEAD, on LinkedIn so I can directly answer any AUM growth questions you may have. All right, thanks for listening and keep on growing out there, everybody.